Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 46 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Showdown.
This episode was written by Gio Yamatoya, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Landmine got swole, and the Autobots acquired the fourth and final Cyber Planet Key, and in this episode, a wounded Coronation Starscream insists, "I still function," and I cheered, I stood, and I clapped. Yay!
That was a nice touch right there, where he says the very line that G1 Megatron says to G1 Starscream in the movie. Yeah, that was a nice reference right there.
Of all the references this show does, a lot of them are just like, it's a pop culture reference. This one nailed it.
Mm-hmm. He crawls out of the lake that he landed in after Landmine knocked him through the wall into it, and he's all banged up and smashed, and he thinks about all those that stole his victory from him. Like, he thinks about Optimus and Galvatron Primus, and he stands and he starts charging up, I guess, and that repairs him, and he says he'll never give up.
And then we see some weird, swirly, purple, black, green effect spreading across space, and I think that's supposed to be a black hole, but it totally doesn't look like one.
It's starting to destroy more things, and Vector Prime says they need to complete the Omega Lock quickly, so he then does it as slowly as he can, walking across the room carrying this thing, and Laurie's glad that their adventure is at its end, and Bud says, well, this is usually the part of adventures where they get really challenging, and Optimus agrees they need to be ready for anything.
So they power up the Cyber Planet Orb Key Lock Omega Lock thing inside the Lemia Momina or the Atlantis or the whatever Kijiji ship. I don't know what ship they're in, but they're inside when they power it up, and then suddenly they're just outside.
Yeah.
And Optimus insists that, like, the planet's systems are rebooting?
Yeah, and then Jolt realizes he can warp again, which they couldn't before. But then I thought, oh yeah, there was that very, very brief blink and you miss it bit when they first got here where Vector Prime tried to use a sword to make a portal and he couldn't do it. So now I guess the thing preventing that is gone, which if you think about it, kind of makes sense. If they were at war with Planet X and those guys could teleport, they would put this thing up, right?
Yeah. What happens next, though, is maybe my favorite part of the episode, is that the sky starts opening, and effectively it's the levels of cities, but it's a really neat visual, seeing the sky open up, and then on top of the sky, seeing that it's the ground of another city, and then it goes again and again in multiple layers.
And you see the next sky opening up that is like the sky of the level above it. Yeah, it's really neat.
And then a giant space bridge opens up to their own dimension, which they just know, their own dimension, and Secret Agent Man calls.
Yes, he just appears in a holographic screen that just pops up in front of them, and he's like, hey, how's it going? Wasn't sure if we'd ever talk to you again. And Optimus tells him, well, it was kind of a rough go, but we got all the things we needed. We're on our way back, and tell the kids' parents, you know, set the table. These kids will be home for supper and all that. And then other screens appear showing the planets and the black hole, and one of them shows Primus, who Optimus tells Metroplex, yeah, that's Primus, he's the guy that created us.
Yeah, and who's opening these screens for them or displaying
yes.
them? That doesn't matter, because Scourge is here now.
Yeah, and Optimus is like, oh, Scourge, you're looking well, and because at first you think, okay, he's going to try and fight them again, and even Snarl looks kind of suspicious at Scourge, but Scourge tells Optimus he needs to return to Jungle Planet to do what he can, I think he says, for his people, and Snarl decides to go with him.
But why? Like, because the Autobots have the Omega Orb lock key thing lock, and they're going to go stop the black hole. What are Scourge and Snarl going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do when they get there? Like, shake their fists?
Shake harder, boy! That doesn't matter. Optimus starts to give a bunch of orders, and then, fuck, even though he had his ass blown into the sky and got blowed up, Galvatron is here. Oh.
Hey there, fellas.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah, I finally traded in that invisible can of paint for this here can of invisible paint, so's what I can finally paint that awning what I said I would back at the beginning of this season.
You already finished watching Murder, She Wrote?
Oh boy, did I ever. Let me tell you, that Jessica Fletcher is one hell of a lady. If I weren't such a respectable gentleman, I'd say she got a great set of doobie-doos.
Come on, man, Angela Lansbury passed
Dame
away.
Dame
Angela Lansbury passed away only a couple years ago. It's pretty tacky to objectify her like that.
No. You'll misunderstand. By doobie-doos, I was referring to her bazongas. And by bazongas, I mean
yeah,
her
Yeah, we get it, Lou. We get it.
So now we're back to square one?
Yes. Yes, we are.
And you're going to paint the awning?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And you won't get distracted by that shelf again?
Shelf? What shelf?
That crooked shelf behind you.
Hey, that shelf there's crooked. I should fix that. Let me go get my big fucking tools. Doby, 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 day.
Anyway, yeah, Galvatron's here and he's fine. Of course he's fine because nothing matters in this show. Somebody gets the shit kicked out of them, like Snarl got the shit kicked out of him 2 episodes ago, 4 times in a row. And then the last episode he shows up and he's fine. And like the same way, Galvatron's just fine.
Yeah, and he has a line about how, because Optimus is like, Vector Prime, you will carry the Omega Lock. And Galvatron's like, no, how could I let an old man carry that thing? I'll carry the Omega Lock back to Primus. And from here on out, the episode is basically just one big fight.
It's one big fight interspersed among a lot of talking and floating around. And I think Galvatron starts to warp around. I'm not really sure, but he's like zipping about and he's shooting lightning at everybody. And then he just has the Omega Orb Lock, green warp orb. Lock.
Yeah, because he zaps Vector Prime back into a wall and picks this thing up and says he'll give his regards to Primus before he destroys him. And he flies up, but Optimus forms super mode and gives chase.
And he is followed by Evac, Jetfire, and Wingding, the 3 flyers.
And all flying in robot mode.
Yes. Yeah, well, nothing matters anymore. And to follow that on that nothing matters, Coronation Starscream is just here.
Yep, he's blocking Galvatron's way to the space bridge, and they start with the smack talk, and Galvatron tells him, oh, it's nice that you've actually learned something from my tutelage, Starscream. And Starscream's like, all right, hand over the Omega Lock, or I'll take it from your charred remains. But Galvatron tells him, it doesn't matter how large you get, you just will never be a match for me.
Yeah, Coronation Starscream has a line about how he learned that real power just comes from pure determination. And then I don't know what he does, something with his hands, and I don't know if it's an Hadouken or what, but all of a sudden, all the Autobots, the flying Autobots, just fall out of the sky.
Well, yeah, he sends out some kind of shockwave of something. It only marginally, just barely affects Galvatron. Just, you see it go past him, but it doesn't really do anything, but it knocks all the Autobots back to the ground, and Starscream tells Galvatron to witness the power, and he starts glowing gold, but it turns out Galvatron knows that trick too, and he starts glowing purple.
Yeah, and then they charge each other to do that punch fist thing. And then they repeat the exact same shot again. And it's not that thing where, you know, sometimes in action shows, they'll do a shot and then they cut it. Bah, 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 3 times in a row to really land the hit. They don't do that. They just play the exact same shot 2 in a row. And I think commercial break.
Well, yeah, I thought it happened in there because it does fade to black very, very briefly and before it shows the exact same thing again. But they knock each other back and Galvatron uses his cyber key and gets out the Gatling gun. And enough with the magic tricks, he even says. So I guess he's done with Starscream's fucking mysticism with like pulling energy out of nowhere.
And then Starscream, I guess not using mysticism, just body checks him into the ground. It causes a crater, opens fire, and leaves him completely unconscious in that crater, but he's going to be fine.
Well, yeah, because the Autobots are watching this, and they can't believe the power of those two, but Optimus tells them, you know, stay focused. The Omega Lock is their priority, and we have to get that thing back at any cost, and they're off to do just that, but are immediately attacked by Soundwave and Sideways.
And I don't understand their motivations at all. They want Megatron to win for reasons, and it doesn't matter. They just attack the Autobots.
Well, yeah, because Soundwave, even like, we have a lot riding on that jam session happening upstairs, meaning the fight between Starscream and Megatron. He can't let the Autobots interfere, but what? It doesn't. But I did like this, though, because Optimus is like, move it or lose it, and Jetfire's like, I heard that they're kind of shit fighters anyway, man. They'd probably prefer a dance competition.
So we go back to Coronation Starscream, who's firing at Galvatron. Like, Galvatron is unconscious in this crater. Coronation Starscream fires at him, and then immediately Galvatron wakes up.
Yep.
And then, oh, yeah, there's a lot more flying around and shooting and punching. And then Starscream does that thing that every toy did in the 90s where he ejects his fist at Galvatron and knocks him out of the air again into another crater. Again.
Well, yeah, first I thought it was just like forced perspective where you see this fist coming at you and it gets bigger. But when you see it go back to his wrist, the fist actually does shrink in size, and he even says that from the power he's already absorbed from Primus, I guess, he can increase the mass of his body at will, so why doesn't he keep doing that? Like, why is he staying just this size?
That's the best answer I can give you.
But Galvatron still isn't done, though. He stands back up, and now the rest of the Decepticons are here, just the cheering section, I guess, and Thundercracker is Larry the Cable Guy now. He's like, get her done, boss, that's all right.
Yeah. And Ransack and Crumplezone, they have doubts for a minute. They're like, hey, can Galvatron do this? Starscream's pretty big.
Yeah, he don't look too good.
And Thunderblast scolds them for doubting Galvatron, but immediately gets called out for switching sides so much. And I was glad somebody finally acknowledged it.
Yeah, and that she actually realizes, oh, shit, wait a minute. What if Galvatron does lose? Then what am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll just cheer with, like, generic comments, and I'll go with whoever wins. And she's like, yeah, go, you big hunky guy.
Yeah, go team. So then on the ground, the Autobots in the ground finally do something, and they start firing at Soundwave just as Optimus is getting punched out by Sideways.
Yeah, because Sideways is making up for lost time with the teleporting, I guess. He's zipping and zapping around and kicks Optimus and sends him flying. But before Soundwave can blast Optimus, a giant piece of debris, I guess from Megatron Starscream fighting, falls between them, blocks the shot, and the kids are all watching this, and they're relieved that Optimus is okay, but then they realize the thing's about to land on them.
And luckily, Metroplex is there, and he saves them, so they're not important in this episode anymore. And then we go back to Coronation Starscream punching Galvatron again and again in the air, and putting him into another crater again.
Well, yeah, and this time Starscream teleports behind Galvatron so they can all teleport now, I guess. Like, it's like it's the latest craze that everybody's doing.
In Armada, it was planking, and now in Cybertron, it's punching into craters and teleporting. And Galvatron has this moment where he's like, I wonder if I've been defeated, but he's going to be fine. We all know he's going to be fine.
And his eyes light up and he stands up, and if Starscream wants to risk everything, then so be it. And he starts glowing again, Galvatron does, and they both start charging up like characters on Dragon Ball, and watching them from below, the others all stop fighting and comment on it, and Sideways says they're channeling enough energy to destroy a small planet.
So what the hell is the point of cyber keying up? If these Transformers, Decepticons, and all them can just power themselves up and get bigger at will and eject their fists and all this crap, why do they even need cyber planet keys?
The force of determination.
Yeah. Anyway, who cares? Soundwave and Sideways decide they're going to run away, but before they do, they need to acquire the Cyber Planet Lock Orb Key, even though I thought they wanted Megatron to have it, but I should punch myself in the face for trying to figure out the logic of this episode.
And yeah, they teleport away, and then Jetfire's like, I'll go after them. It's like, they teleported, man. You don't even know where they went. But Optimus tells them, forget them right now. We have to take cover and protect the kids. If these guys are channeling this much power, if it explodes, right? And then Optimus says, if either one of those guys survives, we'll need to fight him for the Omega Lock, but and he worries about their chances against such power, but one of them will be gone and the other guy will be severely weakened, man, so don't worry about it too much.
Yeah, really, don't worry about it. But these two power up and they charge each other and they do the punch fist things, and there's a big explosion. And when I say big, I mean fucking big.
Well, you could see it from outside, like from space. It shows Gigantion, and it is a fraction of the size of Gigantion. The fucking thing is huge. And Gigantion is a big planet.
Yeah, it covers half the planet's surface.
But yeah, when the smoke and everything clears, it looks like Soundwave and Sideways were vaporized, but I'm sure they'll be fine. And Galvatron and Starscream just slowly fall away from each other and vanish into the light.
Yeah, and then, of course, all the Autobots stand up and they're fine. Even though there is a crater the size of fucking Canada on the surface of this planet.
It's going down through all the levels too, right? Like it's like the nine layers of fucking hell.
Yeah, but all the Autobots are fine. They stand up. They're all fine, even though they were pretty much at ground zero. And then Megatron is flying in the air and he's fine. I said Megatron. I meant Galvatron. They're all fine.
Yeah, he flies off and the rest of the Decepticons follow him, riding on Thundercracker's back. They've done that before. And they escape through the space bridge, and Bud asks what happened to Starscream and the others, and Vector Prime thinks they were probably just knocked into yet another dimension.
Yeah, why not? And then we see the space bridge begin to dissolve, and the kids are like, oh no, we'll be trapped here forever. But, like, can't Jolt warp now? Didn't that just happen?
Ha! They finally get this thing all put together, and it opens a space bridge back to their universe, but it also reboots the planet's systems, which disables the device to prevent it warping on Gigantion. Now, the planet was at war with beings that could teleport. Makes sense that it had such a thing, and since they don't teleport themselves, they probably forgot it was even still there after all these years. Well, that's fine. And Jolt feels his ability, which he learned from Vector Prime much later, come back, so it makes sense that Sideways and Soundwave would feel it, too, and they can do it again. And Starscream got his powers long before he came to Gigantion. Maybe teleportation was included in that package, but what about Galvatron? He couldn't teleport before as Megatron. Open space bridges, sure, but not teleportation like we see here, zipping and zapping around. Seems to me that'd be the kind of thing he'd have done more than once if he could, so he must have got the ability when he changed from Megatron to Galvatron, which happened here on Gigantion, which at the time had a device preventing warping. That'd be like learning how to swim by standing in an empty swimming pool. Even if he felt it when the thing shut off, like the others did, it seems like an awfully random thing to just try and do all of a sudden if you didn't know you actually could. Like, if you, dear listener, feel a strange sensation come over you, you aren't going to think to yourself, I can teleport now, and then give it a try, however you'd even do it. You're going to wonder what's wrong. What did I eat a few times?
All right, so the episode we just reviewed was Showdown. Paul,
I did like where Jetfire's like, well, I heard that, you know, they're kind of shit fighters. Maybe all they want is like a poetry slam or a dance competition or something. That was kind of funny. But this, the whole thing with suddenly being able to warp again, though, and the guys that can do it absolutely do, except Jolt, like they really could have done something with that, but they just kind of gloss over it. Like it would have been the kind of thing they should have given more attention to. I would have thought like, they actually need Jolt to teleport. Like when that rock has fallen, it would have been really cool if Jolt teleported the kids out of the way instead of having the giant guys, you know, drill the thing apart and Metroplex save them, right? Like it's like they mentioned it, like it's set up and nothing.
Yeah. I like the levels opening up. Visually, it looked cool. There were a couple cool visuals. The big explosion I liked. Galvatron and Starscream floating away. There didn't seem to be a point to it, but it looked kind of cool. Aside from that, it really does feel like this series is just stretching it out. I think we even mentioned that last episode. They're stretching for time at this point.
They got to get in a few more episodes to meet the contractual obligations or something.
Literally, yeah. The next episode we're going to review for contractual obligations is Gabarbian. And if you want to, I don't know, something Guardian, something joke, you can email this show at TransformersNitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us in your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, whatever you listen to Blind Guardian with, and tell your friends, tell everybody you know.
You know, Paul, I went to see Blind Guardian live. Hey, dear listener, it's another John went to see a concert story. I went to see Blind Guardian in, I think it was 2016, and they did a couple songs and then were like, hey, we were, in their very thick German accents, we're like, we weren't going to say until like the encore, but we're recording a live album. And the crowd went fucking insane. And if you listen to, I think it came out a year later, so I'm going to say 2017, but if you listen to the album, I think it's just called Blind Guardian Live, and you find the track Valhalla. Maybe other tracks were recorded in Vancouver. I know that it was recorded through a number of shows, but when the audience kicks into Valhalla and is singing along, I'm in the crowd in that song.
Man.
And it was one of the coolest moments. It was like the band stops playing and we're all just singing along. It's all a cappella. The drummer's still kicking it. And then the drummer just died down. And there was this moment where the band all kind of looked at each other like, holy shit, they're into
wow.
It. And it just kept going and going and going. And eventually they had to bring the drums back. And man, it was... At one point, the whole crowd starts stomping along the beat, and I swear to God, I can't remember if it was in the Orpheum or the Rocks, but like, it felt like the place was going to fall apart. Dear listener.
You just feel the whole place shaking.
Oh absolutely. Wow. Dear listener, if you like power metal at all, or you just like a rockin' tune, go listen to some Blind Guardian. It's great power metal. You said the tell your friends something, Transformers, Podbean, whatever, fucking Blind Guardian.
See you later.
Valhalla, reverence. Why, if you ever forgotten me, Valhalla, deliverance. Why, if you ever forgotten me, oh Lord.
Get her done, boss. That's right.